Hi, I'm Rob, and I'm here with Kate.
Hi.
Welcome to the Backseat Imagineering Podcast. We are two lifelong Disney fans who love to share our opinions, experiences, and insights about all things Disney with you.
Plus, we're both teachers, so we love to talk.
Welcome back to the Backseat Imagineering Podcast, Episode 2. So exciting. Thank you to everyone who downloaded, liked, followed our show from our first episode. The Disney community is just one of the best communities out there. We really appreciate the support. Mm-hmm. If you want to connect with us, just remember we're on Twitter at Backseat Imagine. You can also email us at Gmail at backseatimagineeringpodcast@gmail.com. We love to hear from our listeners. We love to hear your responses to our topics. So reach out and let us know what you're thinking. Speaking of reaching out and telling us what you think about our topics, we have our first new segment already on episode 2. It's the mailbag. Believe it or not, our first episode produced some mail. So last episode, we talked about attractions that need to come back. And one listener suggested the Singing in the Rain picture spot. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
This was in Hollywood Studios in Streets of America. There was a lamppost. And on the lamppost, it had an umbrella. And underneath the umbrella was a little button you could stand on. And when you stood on that button, it would release water over the umbrella. Mm-hmm. And it made it look like you were in the Singing in the Rain movie. So our listener was saying that that effect has gone away since they've added Galaxy's Edge and all the new areas. But our listener was saying that area needs to come back. And it reminded me that sometimes those little things, not the big rides, not the big shows, but sometimes it's just those little spots that make all the difference for people going to Disney. So shout out to that listener, and keep sending in your ideas and your responses to our topics. But yeah, bring back the Singing in the Rain lamppost.
And that old Hollywood feel to Hollywood Studios in general.
Yeah, we liked that old Hollywood feel. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's our tidbit for the week. This one actually you came up with.
Yeah, thinking of things that surprised me about our last trip, the first trip with our daughter, that we'd like to share that maybe other people aren't aware of either.
So if you go to Main Street in the Magic Kingdom, off to your left-hand side, if you're facing the castle, kind of tucked away a little bit, is this Harmony Barbershop. And believe it or not, it's an active working barbershop where you can get your hair cut. Now, I think it's a neat idea for anybody to get their hair cut, but I'm someone whose haircut is pretty simple. I don't know. Would you get your haircut
there? I would not get my haircut there.
So if your haircut maybe is a little bit more complex, or you need someone with specific skills to handle it because, you know, your hair is very curly, or then maybe that's not the place for you. My haircut, I can literally run a razor over it and it's done. I was able to cut my hair in quarantine, so that tells you how simple mine was. We actually had our daughter's first haircut there, which was a really neat experience. So what they do is that you schedule a haircut, and you let them know it's your first haircut, and they get a certificate out. She got a hat with Mickey ears that said first haircut on the back. It's a great picture opportunity. The people are super kind, and I was a little nervous. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I was most concerned because our daughter's a slow hair grower. So we booked this months in advance and we kept waiting and waiting for the hair to come in.
That's right.
And she just barely had a little bit, but the woman cutting her hair was very understanding and, you know, gave us our little cut just to say we did it with, enough hair to save as a souvenir without setting her back, you know, the hard one hair she'd already produced.
Yeah, and that was really nice. And they were very kind about it. I was nervous that she was going to be scared, and they had toys and they had all this stuff. So it's a great trip, and it's a great extra that you can add on to your trip, especially if you have a young one, especially if you have a first haircut. But it's a neat find. Check it out. It's on that left-hand side of Main Street as you enter the Magic Kingdom and facing the castle. Really neat opportunity.
And reasonably priced for something in Disney World, too.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't think I paid more than I would pay for a normal haircut.
Yeah, hardly, if even.
Yeah, great find. My favorite segment is next, Pass or Fast Pass. And I like it a lot because I named it, and I think it's terribly clever. Really proud of that. And so I got some reaction from Kate that I was picking things that we were both going to fast pass all the time. And she challenged me this week to try to pick something that maybe we disagree on. So I picked one of what I think is Disney community's most contentious fast pass options. And that's Peter Pan's flight. Mm-hmm. It is typically a favorite among a lot of fans. And then there are fans out there that seem to say, what is the big deal with this ride? Always has a long wait. It's a traditional opening day dark ride in the Magic Kingdom. So I'm going to start this one out because you started last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say hard fast pass on this. It is an amazing, amazing ride. It isn't very long. That's true. But when it comes to classic Imagineering Disney nostalgia, this ride has it all. You get on a little pirate boat. You go through blacklight scenes of the Darlings' bedroom, and you fly over London, and you go to Neverland, and you see all the different characters from this classic story. I mean, it just brings back childhood. It screams childhood for me. So it's one I never miss. I always have a fast pass to this ride. I'll be honest, I probably don't wait in line for this ride because I always have a fast pass. If you asked me to wait 65 minutes, I might say I'll come back later or try to get a fast pass at some other point. But I always fast pass Peter Pan's flight.
Not only do you always fast pass it, but you get multiple fast passes for Peter Pan's flight. It's like, well, we're going back to the Magic Kingdom another day, so we have to get on Peter Pan's flight. And it has to be on the first day, and then it has to be again on the last day. And then if it's too long a trip, once in the middle, just to keep you in it. So I think you're underselling it a little bit, saying you won't wait. You won't wait, but you will use a lot of your dedicated Fast Pass slots for Peter Pan's flight.
That's probably true.
This ride for me is one of those situations where your family and what you did on vacations and then the family you marry into, your partner's family, just does not have the same goals. Where the idea of what makes a good ride and a good vacation do not necessarily align. We're definitely a thrill ride family. You know, my parents, my sister.
And we're not.
Yeah. So I would have to say pass on this. I have nothing against the ride itself. The ride is perfectly fine. And for me,
perfectly fine, by the way, wounds me when you talk about Peter Pan's flight.
I would put it in the category, this might wound you further, with things like the Grand Fiesta boat ride in
Mexico. That's another fantastic ride. No, living, that's a good category.
Living with the Land.
You're naming a Mount Rushmore of rides for me right now.
But the difference is, I'm not going to waste a fast pass on either of those rides in Epcot. I'm not going to wait. I mean, I like those rides where it's like, oh, hey, remember this exists? Like the Web White People Mover. It's like, oh, let's get on this ride and just practically walk on. Which I think in Disney World is kind of an exciting thing to do. So if Peter Pan's Flight had that kind of popularity and ease of getting on it, I would be perfectly fine with it. It's a fine ride, but for the wait and the fast pass, it's a pass for me.
All right, so there you are. Successfully picked a topic that we would not agree on. Let us know what you think on Twitter or by email. Peter Pan's Flight, do you fast pass it? Do you fast pass it multiple times a vacation like I do? Or are you like Kate and you just pass altogether? All right, are you ready for Backseat Imagineering?
Oh boy, am I ready.
Okay, so this topic Kate came up with, and she suggested we talk about what IP should have an attraction but doesn't. When I say IP, I mean intellectual property, characters from a movie or a story. So what intellectual property should have an attraction but doesn't, and where should it go? So my first one's a bit of a cheat, and I'm going to say Moana. Mm-hmm. They've already announced that they're going to do this attraction in Epcot. I just feel like it's been so long coming already with such a big movie that had so many great aspects to it. It's got great movie. It's got great characters. It breaks the mold of the traditional Disney movie in such a great and powerful way that I really think they need an attraction. And the description of the attraction sounds neat, and I'm going to sort of withhold judgment until we see what the attraction actually is.
Okay.
But I also think it'd be a great attraction for like a dark flume ride where they could do some really neat things with water and with lighting that you don't get in some of the walkthrough attractions like they've described.
Mm-hmm.
I also am reminded of a scene that was in a now closed ride, Maelstrom. In that ride, there was a point where you went down the slope and you ended up on what felt like a ginormous ocean. I know it wasn't. It was just a room, but it felt really big. Mm-hmm. And off
with the oil derricks?
With the oil derricks off in the distance. And it was just amazing to me how Imagineering made that space feel so big and made you feel so small.
Mm.
And I could imagine a similar scene in Moana being lost out in the ocean feeling so small on such a large ocean. So Moana is my first one, even though it's a little bit of a cheat.
Now, do you think Epcot is the right park for it?
Oh, that's a really good question. I like Epcot as the park for Moana because I think Moana has that entertainment education combination. Okay. With some things around the environment,
mm-hmm.
that really fits nicely into Epcot. Now, it's a little bit tricky because Epcot hasn't always been the traditional, this is where the movie IP goes, mm-hmm. right? Typically, either Hollywood Studios or really Magic Kingdom. But with the way Epcot's evolving, I feel like this might be the right park for it now, especially if they stick to that entertainment education combination, mm-hmm. Along with like the seas and the land and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah. Because I was thinking the South Seas kind of feel like maybe seems like it should be an Adventureland. You know, it makes me think of like Polynesian Resort, sort of Magic Kingdom styling. But maybe it's like Tomorrowland and Future World that it's, you know, two different parks kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that's another location it could go, Adventureland. I think I tend towards Epcot because that is where it's going.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, do you have one?
Well, my first one is a bit of a cheat, not because it's planned, but because we mentioned it last time.
Okay, so back-to-back cheats.
Yeah. So for me, the first thing when I think of, based on this question, is Inside Out and something along the lines of Cranium Command. Although, to be perfectly accurate, I thought of the question only based on the conversation we had last episode about Cranium Command and movies that just seem like they're dying for something. The other plug I'd put for Inside Out, I had watched it before we had our daughter, and then we watched it again with her. And maybe with the pandemic and things, I was just at a sensitive moment in my life. But I cried not just at the end, but I swear just straight on through.
Yeah.
So it's really, for something that's enjoyable to children and giving messages that are good for children, I feel like it has is so emotionally impactful.
Yeah.
Too. So it really is a movie that I think deserves to be enshrined and have more life, the repeated life that I think having a permanent attraction can give a film.
Yeah, and I feel like nowadays with the quarantine and in general, there's so much more focus on mental well-being and emotions, self-care, that this movie offers context awareness to, some language around, even for our daughter to sort of think about what these emotions mean and how they make her feel. I agree. I think it's a powerful movie. I also had a similar experience rewatching it, where I saw it through a different lens.
Mm-hmm. And it fits in with what you were saying about the educational value of Epcot to keep that going and, you know, give messages for kids. I guess maybe give parents an excuse to take their kids out of school, which as teachers we disapprove of. But, you know, it's always great to get those educational moments in a vacation as well.
So Disney, if you're listening, we've got all these ideas for Epcot. All right, so I've got one that I'm going to call not a cheat. Mm-hmm. And hear me out. Princess and the Frog. Yes, they've talked about retheming Splash Mountain. That's in the process to be Princess and the Frog, which is great. And I think an awesome choice, something that needs to happen. Here is what I'm pitching, though. I want desperately Tiana's Restaurant in the Magic Kingdom because Cajun food is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I just think a spot where you could sit down, have some great Cajun food that was all themed to Princess and the Frog, and that Tiana would just be fantastic. A character meal there would be so neat. You could get the doctor in there. So Tiana's Restaurant is one I really am pushing for 100%.
I like that idea because it enshrines her success in the movie. You know, it's not about the conflict, but it's about the payoff for her. So I could see it as a way to share in that happy ending for her, which isn't the marriage. I mean, it's the marriage, but it's also the fact that she can fulfill her dream of starting her own restaurant. So having that be the thing you see and get to experience, I really like that idea.
I'm going to pretend I thought of that and totally steal that idea. All right, so that's my second one. Do you have another one?
Yeah, so here's my big fleshed out idea. I was really, you know, thinking of movie. It's hard to think of a movie that you think is good, that's relatively popular, and that doesn't already have something. And the one I really landed on was Brave. There's that character meet and greet in the Magic Kingdom now, but
which is already so cool themed. Like the theming of that little area just already, I think, tells you what Imagineering could do with the property.
But I really went overboard thinking about what an attraction for Brave could be. And I was thinking, you know, archery is so big these days, and not just with girls, but I think with boys too. In fact, our nephew, when we mentioned that Brave was an idea, was like, yeah, I'd love to do the archery element of it. So my idea is something along the lines of Toy Story Midway Mania. So it could
already
be
already a popular ride.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I like that, and the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin, that kind of arcade aspect.
A little competition, which you like too.
Yeah, yeah. Even though I'm abysmal at, the Buzz Lightyear one I'm abysmal at.
Yeah.
I don't know, something about those guns, they just don't fire for me. But yeah, anyway, right.
That's always the excuse.
But I mean, I think the neat thing that they did with those two rides is have a different firing mechanism. So something that was more akin to archery, I'm thinking of something like Wiimotes. I'm sure they could do like an archery-like movement, and to have the ride vehicle maybe feel like it's on horseback and go from like the Highland Games and then maybe through the forest and a scarier segment. You can see I've really thought this whole thing out. I think would be a very cool attraction. And as for where to put it, it could go in the Magic Kingdom and Fantasyland where the meet and greet is. But I think it might be cool in Epcot too, and maybe in the England sort of world showcase area, though Scotland isn't England, but you know, it could be a neat attraction, a neat ride to put in the World Showcase.
Yeah. Because they keep adding new rides and IP to the World Showcase, so that could be an interesting add. They could even add Scotland as its own country and add it, because they keep talking about adding new countries to it. Do you think people would struggle with a horse motion on a ride vehicle? As someone who suffers from motion sickness, when you said that, I thought, ooh, I'm going to get some Dramamine for that ride.
Well, I was just so bored by talking about Peter Pan's flight that I needed to imagine some more exciting ride motion just to get over it.
Okay, so remember when you send your angry tweets and angry emails, that's Kate who said that. I love Peter Pan. So I'm going to say in the same region of the world, and I'm going to say Mary Poppins. I'll be honest, I have a hard time picturing exactly what this ride looks like, but I could imagine a little bit of Peter Pan's flight where you're riding on an umbrella, a little bit of carousel horse where you're riding on a carousel.
Oh, so that horse motion now is okay, right?
Well, carousel horse is a little bit more gentler, but and I just think that's such a great property. They've already done a sequel. The songs, I can't imagine that there isn't a place in the Disney World Epcot area where you can't hear those songs being played regularly, because it's just such a fantastic soundtrack by the Sherman Brothers. I think obvious location, Epcot probably, World Showcase makes some sense. You could also do it in Fantasyland. That's another good one.
Or Hollywood Studios. I mean, that's where it was part of the Great Movie Ride that got shut down. So
yeah, Hollywood Studios. I could even see it on Main Street. You don't really think of a classic attraction like that going on Main Street, but you could expand Main Street out maybe and add this attraction to Main Street, because it's from that time period, although not Missouri.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be London, but you get the idea. So Mary Poppins was one of mine. I just thought they need an attraction. Now, there's been talk for years of adding a Mary Poppins attraction to England, and it sounds like it's more firm now than it's been, although with the quarantine, who knows which projects are going to move forward and which projects aren't. But I think Mary Poppins is a big one for me.
I wonder if they could do something where it started off looking like a regular carousel, and then the horses actually, like, went off onto a dark ride through other parts of it.
That would be very cool. Everybody loaded onto like a big carousel, then they just joined onto a track off into a dark ride.
Yeah, I mean, maybe something like the Ellen's Energy Adventure, where like the seats are in one configuration and then they like pull out in line to go through something else.
So Disney's going to be calling.
Get on that, Disney.
Yeah, Disney's going to be calling you. You've got it.
Okay, and I just have one final honorable mention, and I think that would be Hercules. I really liked the movie, even though it hit, I'll be letting everybody know approximately how old I am. not when I was actually a kid, but when I was studying mythology in like junior high. So I was kind of in that time where it's like, I'm not in the age for Disney movies, but it's right before I get too cool to like it, or I kind of like them in secret.
Right.
And the music is just fantastic to Hercules. So I think it's a neat property. But honestly, I was trying to think what the ride might be and where it would go. And I just don't know if I have any good answers to that. It reminds me more of the kind of Atlantis area of Universal Studios Island of Adventure. I don't even know if that's still there.
Yeah.
Than any place in Disney World. What do you think? Do you think there's a place for that?
So for Hercules, for me, so you might take away my Disney card at this point. I didn't see it when it first came out. I hadn't seen Hercules until the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Watched it all the way through. And the songs really missed me until very recently. You're right, it's a great soundtrack, but I really didn't appreciate it for a very long time. I could see them doing Hercules almost like a Hero Academy, like they did the Jedi Academy.
Okay.
Philotides trains kids how to be heroes, and they do fun things like that. So I could see it not maybe as a ride, but an attraction in that sense, where they did something a little bit more interactive for kids, like a Hero Academy.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah, so I think that'd be great. And it's a great way to incorporate soundtrack, and it's a different way, I think, sometimes of thinking about incorporating IP into the park. It doesn't have to be a dark ride or a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of other ways. And obviously, you know Disney. I mean, they could do some really cool dark ride, I'm sure, with that. You could see the Hydra done all in like dark, black light and that kind of thing. So I'm sure they could figure it out. But I agree with you. It's hard to imagine Hercules as a dark ride. You had one final. I'm going to have one final. And this one goes totally against the nature of the question, because this isn't an IP that needs an attraction. This is an attraction that needs the full Disney work over. It needs a movie. It needs more product out there. I'm going to say Figment. Figment is one of the best intellectual properties Disney has that it underuses. It is popular with people my age because we grew up with Figment and we were there when the best version of the ride was there. But it's also popular with the younger generation, just what it represents. Figment is imagination and creativity, mischievousness, whatever that word is. I'm making up words now. But Figment needs his own treatment. Instead of a movie that needs an attraction, Figment is an attraction that needs a movie. Okay, so that's our list. What IP should have an attraction but doesn't, and where should it go? We said Moana, even though it's coming. Inside Out, even though we've mentioned it before. Tiana's Place, the restaurant from Princess and the Frog. We absolutely need that restaurant. Brave needs an attraction. Mary Poppins, maybe something on a carousel that transitions into a dark ride. Hercules, although we have trouble imagining that. And please give Figment his own movie. Hey, thanks again, everybody, for listening, for downloading, for liking this podcast. We're having a blast doing it, and it's so much fun interacting with the Disney community. If you want to reach out to us, remember we're on Twitter at BackseatImagine, and we're on email at BackseatImagineeringPodcast@gmail.com. Have a magical day.